Welcome to Relentless Phoenix Podcast, where we explore the tools and resources to unlock a happiness in an increasing, fast-paced, and challenging world. I'm your host, Yane Snee, aka Yaya. I'm your mindset and life coach, your mom, your friend, but most importantly, deep down inside, I'm just an ordinary human just like you. Here with my first episode, yes, me. Over the last few years, I have been focusing on helping humans live a happier and healthy life. On this podcast, Relentless Phoenix Podcast, we'll be diving into powerful stories, practical tools, insights, and strategies to help you become a healthy in the mind, body, and the spirit. Since this is my first episode, or I should say our first episode, I thought I might as well take the opportunity to walk down memory lane of my past, of my life experiences, and tell you a little bit about myself and why I am doing this podcast. Hopefully it resonates with whoever is listening on the other side of this camera. But if it doesn't, well, much luck and blessings to you. So let's start where I was born from. So I was born in New Jersey. I grew up in New Jersey, and I moved around a lot. Needless to say, I didn't stay in a certain school for more than a year or two because I moved around a lot. So if I was out of district, I would move around to a different school. So I really didn't stay in a stable foundation when it came to staying in school more than a year or two. So I moved around a lot, hard to keep friends. From the outside, though, I guess life for many individuals, because I was misunderstood, it seemed like I lived a normal, everyday, run-the-mills life, or everyday girl life, like nothing happened. But behind closed doors, that was far from the truth, and I'm definitely going to explain a little bit about that later on in this episode. But I knew that I had an existence. I knew I had an existence that was filled with purpose. But during my journey, in the early years of my journey, I was written off by family. I was written off by friends. I was written off by those that I held dear to me. And although I was played a bad hand in life, or I had a bad hand to play, I played my cards really well with the cards that I was dealt. It was very challenging, to say the least, but I believe that I did the best I could with the amount of information and events that I had to go through at such a young age. And if you stick around a little bit longer, I'm definitely going to explain a little bit more in depth as I go along what those challenges were and how I overcame those challenges. Like I said, I really do hope that it resonates with someone on the opposite side of this listening in. So yeah, when I was younger, I had a lot of things I had to overcome, and some of those things put me in a great deal of darkness in my life, a great deal of depression, and I didn't really know which way was up, and I didn't really have the greatest support system, and those speaking life into me. So I lost my purpose and my identity. I was raised by a single parent. In the 90s, I am the oldest of my mom's side. I have a younger sister, but I am the oldest. So I would say that I was the trial and error child. I was watching my mom grow up. I was watching my mom grow up and adult. There's no such thing as really being an adult, but I did see her adulting. She tried to adult as she was getting raised quicker than her age as well. She didn't really have a good support system. So trying to be a mom in general was hard, but don't really have anywhere to lean or turn to have a good role model as to how to become a mom is even more challenging. And that's what I had faced when it came to my mom, her trying to move through her journey, getting, you know, with her life situations, and then trying to raise another human being, which was me, the first trial and error child, I say. From a young age, I saw her adulting, and it was pretty difficult because I felt that Later on, I felt that our situation could have been different, and our relationship could have been stronger in the beginning of my childhood years versus the later part, like now, only because I struggled with the fact that she was my mom, holding that title. I really held that title dear, that she was my mom, so she should have known better. And I didn't give her a lot of grace. And I had to talk to her some years as I got older to find out these things, that she didn't really have the best foot in life as well. So, you know, only if I knew, but, you know, life happens like that, where you're a child, you don't understand, you expect a lot from your parents because, hey, you didn't ask to be here, right? And that's how I was. I didn't ask to be here. So why did I go through these things with my mom? And some of the things were very unexpected. But like I said, later on in life, our relationship did grow. We had a chance to talk, and we're best of friends now. But during the time, I really did cry a lot. And I had a lot of built up frustration. And there wasn't really no one that I can vent to. I was mentally and emotionally abused by my mom. I was told I wasn't going to, I don't really know nothing, that I'm not smart. A lot of low self-confidence started to arise during that time. But I mean, I was very young, so I didn't really know what to love yourself look like. And here it is, someone older than me, who should know how to pour into me, really didn't do the best job. So I was definitely in one of those mind states where I didn't really know who I was or how to love myself. So I believe those who didn't speak life into me, that I didn't know nothing, that I was stupid. And that kind of affected my academics a lot, especially when I was younger, because I gave up a lot because I did have challenging issues in school. So the fact that, you know, I was told my mom and other individuals as well that I don't really know much or I'm stupid didn't help a lot. It really didn't help a lot at all. So I did start to develop a lot of low self-esteem and identity issues, like who am I, what's my purpose? And it didn't foster a lot of good things. I was an aggressive child in school. I used to get into so many fights at school. They used to call me Layla Ali. That's how much I was crying for help. I was really acting out in school, especially my middle school. I definitely was doing that. And then here is a child that didn't really know how to, you know, ask for help and speak up, you know, because she thought that she didn't deserve to speak up. You know, she always been told to be silent. So it definitely took a toll on me mentally when I was getting older through the years. And my father, who I really don't call my father, he was more of a sperm donor to me. He didn't really have a lot of say when it came to me, and when he did, he really didn't ask accordingly either. I was one of those kids with him that if I was like a doll, one of those dolls you keep on the table, or you keep on the rack or something, and you only take out just to show everybody, and you put her back up there and not to be touched. I was kind of like that, one of those trophy daughters. Look, you know, I have a daughter, you know, and then that's it. I go right back up to the shelf and don't be bothered until I want to be shown off again. That was kind of his mantra when it came to me. He really didn't want to be bothered too much when it came to me, only for show. And that's why I call him my sperm donor. We only share DNA. I thought that, you know, he cast a dark shadow in my life. He did something to me that I didn't think he was going to do. I wanted that daddy figure so bad from him that he really did a lot of misguided attempts to be there when it was needed most. And when I finally decided to move with him, he took my innocence. Yep, let that sink in. He took my innocence. He sexually abused me. And that hurt it a lot, a lot, a lot. And to this day, he refused to admit it. Yeah, let that sink in, guys. Let this sink in. This happened to me in when I was around middle school, and I am well away from being out of college. And this was the same man that told me I wasn't even going to amount to anything, that I wasn't even going to go to graduate high school or college. I was going to have a whole bunch of kids out of wedlock, and I wasn't going to do anything with my life or amount to anything. Yep, this is him. I went from one household being emotionally abused to going to another household and living with someone that created more daddy issues than I anticipated before I even moved with him. And it took a toll on me a lot when it came down to how I saw myself and how I envisioned myself to be in this world. And it hurt during the whole process. It took me 7 years to speak up. And when I did speak up, it was a lot for me because I was disowned by the very family who said they loved me before I even spoken up. So I was disowned a lot, and I was written off more than I could comprehend even before I even knew I was written off when I was younger. So I don't hold on to titles anymore because of that. And looking back in hindsight, it really does make me think that the choices that individuals make are intentional choices. And when you are put in a position where you got to hold a title, such as a dad or an aunt or uncle or brother or sister, that you have to make intentional commitments. And I feel like my those that I held dear to me didn't make those intentional commitments to protect me, to honor me, to cherish me, to love me, to foster a healthy mindset in me, mind, body, and soul. And it took a deep toll on me, especially holding that in for 7 years, 7 long years, didn't tell anyone. And the fact that I had to speak up for myself, which I don't regret, y'all. Nope, I don't regret at all speaking up for myself. If anyone is asking or thinking about that, I don't. It took everything from me but my dignity. And I'm not going to change that for the world, because if I lay down at night, I'm going to be comfortable with what I did. And that was protect myself and make my own, and have my own self be a voice when there wasn't one for me when I was younger. So I don't hold on to titles because of this, because I was disowned by the very family members that were supposed to support me, even if they didn't know what happened, not to just own me or discourage me or call me promiscuous because they don't believe what's going on. You should never try to turn someone away from getting justice. And that's what my family did, which I no longer call them family. I just call them those that I was born into. I was born into this world to have this certain aunt or this uncle or this brother, or this cousin. It was a lot. And I spoke up during college years. I went through my whole high school years aggressive, filled with anger, filled with a lot of daddy issues, mommy issues, a lot of identity issues. And it was a crisis for me, the unspoken. And I was just yelling out, boy, out, asking for help. It was a dark time. Those one of those dark times where, I look back on it and really thank God that I made it. Thank God that I really have a chance to speak up about that issue, because not a lot of individuals can speak up about that issue. And the fact that I can speak up about it and tell others, look on the other side of that and say it's going to be okay, it definitely, for me, hits home, because I want individuals to see me and see that although it took me a while, it all worked out for my better, because I can sleep peaceful at night knowing that it's not over my head and that I leaned into it and work myself through it and let it overcome me. I'd rather live in victorhood instead of victimhood. Totally. And I don't regret it. Not at all. Don't ever feel speaking up for yourself. It is something that it should be frowned upon, even when it's someone that you care about or you love. Speaking up for yourself is the best thing you could ever do for yourself. The best thing you could ever do for yourself. Like I said before, children don't ask to be here. So it shouldn't be a consequence on those that brought us here, those that are supposed to care for us. Those are not our consequences. We shouldn't be affected by those choices that others made before we got here. We shouldn't. And that's what happened with me. And I had to grow a lot from those decisions that others put upon me that I was unaware of, or if I was, belongs to me, I had to figure out how to get through it and don't let it overtake me, but let me overtake it. And I do believe that every child deserves a parent. I just don't believe every parent deserves a child because of the situations that I've been through. There are amazing parents out there, but there are not some amazing parents out there that does not deserve the right to have precious young youth underneath their household. Don't believe it at all. It takes a lot to care for another human being. More empathy and the love than it is sympathy. That's just my opinion, you know? And from the moment that a child is conceived, the adult who creates that, that child embarks on a journey with them, a journey to become a better human being. A better human being because of their choices of being fulfilled in that child's life, being that child's parent. And whether it's planned or unexpected, the arrival of that child marks the beginning of a new chapter. And those who entrust that child with, that child's journey. And if you're going to be around that child, that's a new journey for you too. So it is a precious joy to have a child around you that you can learn from, you can grow from, and challenge you to become a better human being. And then when you abuse that on a negative side, you for me, you're deemed unworthy to have that child. You're deemed unworthy because the miracle of having that child in your existence is more worthy than it wasn't to have that child. And since you abused it, you don't deserve to have a child. That's just my input on it, you know? But parenthood isn't just a biological act either of bringing this child into this world. It really is, like I said, about love and a supportive environment so this child can flourish and be their ultimate self, because that's what we want in this world. When we're dead and gone, we want our children, because I have two beautiful girls. We want our children to be their better selves. When we pass and we're dead and gone, we know that we did all we can to make sure we have accountable, healthy, healthy mindset individuals in this world that can carry our species on. That's the basis of what we should do. And that's why children are our pride and joy and should be honored and cherished, because they're going to be the ones that will continue on living, you know, behind us, but also being another stepping stone for somebody else to join in and making this world a better place. So abusing someone that has the ability to do that is just wrong. It's just wrong. We set them values in them and we lead them by an example. But when you don't, you turn them into very gullible human beings that think that they can be brainwashed, and that's not it. I refuse to believe that my choices was wrong. I won't be brainwashed and believing that me speaking up was the wrong thing to do. I'm strong in my mindset to know that that was the best thing I could ever do, was speak up for myself. And not that I remember a lot about my childhood. There were moments that I often wondered what it would be like to live in a less chaotic world and not be abused, you know, mentally, emotionally, or sexually, and live in a more stable lifestyle, a stable environment. But when I think about everything I've been through, and not only just including the mental, emotional, and sexual abuse, I've been through bullying. I've been through depression, anxiety. I've been through a lot. But when I choose to believe that the good and the bad of my journey was meant for a reason. And I choose to believe that reason is a good reason. I truly believe we all have stories that we need to be told. And mine is only just that one little speck in a storyline that needs to be shared so someone else can look at my story or my journey and pick up something from it to better their lives. I honestly do believe that. And I used to look on the outside of me to try to fit in this world with that has no foundation to stand on. I honestly did. I thought that the outside world can give me what I needed. But honestly, I found out that it wasn't that. I can look internally to myself and give myself that. And that only became now that I am spiritual. I was religious at a certain point, but now that I am spiritual, I'm leaning more into looking within yourself. And I found more wholeness like no other. I really did. I found a lot of wholeness. I found a lot of peace within myself, a lot of calmness, because I'm okay with my struggles and my challenges that I had to face, because I'm here facing them now. They didn't overtake me. I overcame it. So that is definitely something that I'm most proud about, because somebody yesterday didn't wake up. And they can't tell their story. They can't tell their journey of how they overcame everything. They can't say no longer how they are a victor now, because they're dead and gone. So it's very important for me to look on the silver liner of all of everything that I have to go through. It's very important for me to do that, because then that helps me build more resilience as I move forward. So I have to believe that looking within myself gives me more of a stronger foundation to take on life challenges than trying to fit in. I never wanted to fit in because I wanted to fit in and be with the in crowd. I wanted to fit in because I wanted to belong, because I never had that feeling of belonging. And it may play hand in hand, but it wasn't that, oh, I wanted to change who I was. I just wanted to belong and any space or any environment. And that's how it was during, you know, my childhood. I definitely wanted that, to just belong anywhere. And I was so misunderstood because of the things that I had to go through with my mom or my dad, or just personally just growing up as a woman, just growing into my adulthood. It was a lot, you know, a lot for me. And it wasn't until I started getting into a mentorship program and started getting into a lot of stuff in college where I realized where my purpose and belonging was. And it was one moment where I was in the mentorship program, and I started sharing, you know, some of the things that I've been through because I was a mentor. And I realized that through my pain, I was helping others, you know, go through what they had to go through to get to the other side. So whether it was being abused or they was going through anxiety, depression, I went through that already, and I was able to help them, which was really, really great. And I felt so comfortable doing that. Like, this is my purpose. Like, I feel meaning behind helping this individual, you know, overcome their obstacle and build their own resilience as a extra topping to what they're going through, so they can face the next obstacle in their life. I felt my meaning, my purpose in that. And since the start of 2022, I realized I didn't have to no longer be embarrassed of my journey, because when I started sharing my life circumstances and events, and I started piecing together that others are going through the similar situation that I was going through, or they show that they understand what I've been through, and they start sharing their you know, their struggles of different things, it opened my eyes up that everyone is the same. And because of that, I felt everyone has a story to tell, like I said earlier, which helped me not become embarrassed of being abused, or not becoming embarrassed of being bullied or mistreated or outcast or having anxiety or going to therapy or having them classify me as this stereotype based on them checking off lists and not really listening to me. So I no longer had to worry about what the others were going to say, because I felt belonged within myself when I speak about what I've been through. So they don't like it, hey, that's on them. But I know that you have a story. You have a story. Somebody here has a story that they had to go through, and they may not want to share it, or they do. But I start to realize in 2022 that I no longer have to be embarrassed by my struggles, because we all are bearing struggles, and we are bearing something that is difficult for us to bear. And to this exact same day, we're going through a lot as it is with financial crisis or finding a job or relationships. So we're all going through something. I shouldn't have to be embarrassed for the things that I went through, because I know for a fact everything that I've been through, there's someone out there who needs to hear it so they can grow. That's what I do believe. And I started doing that in 2022. And I had to learn that the hard way. I did. But I don't regret the lost time, because me going through the various events that I went through, I needed to go through that, because I couldn't grow to be on this podcast and speak about going through anxiety or heartache or finding purpose or identity if I didn't go through it. And I don't like anyone who calls themselves a leader do the exact same thing and say they know how to get you out of a struggle when they haven't been in the struggle themselves. That's not me. And I'm glad that I've been through this, because I can say, hey guys, this podcast is for real. I've been through where you at. I know exactly how you feel. And these are the steps and tricks that I use to get myself up out of there. And I'm still using these steps and tricks to get myself up out of there. That's what I know. That's what I know you want to hear. And that's what I'm going to give y'all. I've been through the trenches, and I know how to get out of them. I may not have all the answers. I'm not saying I'm a saint. I'm not saying I'm 100% factual with all my information. All I'm saying is I want to give you what I learned throughout my years, spill a little wisdom on y'all, a little bit of advice. Y'all take it back home, y'all digest it, y'all let me know how y'all feel. And then you move forward like that. And it was, growing up was, you know, definitely hard trying to get those things and learn the hard way, get it under control. And I was a bit hard-headed. I was very much a growing up, I was a bit hard-headed, because I only learned two ways. And it was either through others or through myself. 9 times out of 10, the ways that I learned was through myself, because I had to experience the struggle in order to know what not to do. It's easy to say what not to do when you're looking from the outside end of a situation and you're judging someone, but to be in a situation, you know, it takes on a whole new form of you understanding a situation, the in and out of it. So that was my thing. I was very hard-headed, but I definitely didn't want the world to tear me down. So I had a resilience about me and a passion about me to never give up. And I knew that prior to 2022, I knew that I had a purpose. And the mentorship and me being in college and being around others definitely helped in me understanding where I was at in this world, and they kept pushing me to today. So I really do think me learning the hard way, I definitely do think me learning the hard way was a great thing for me, because I wouldn't learn any other way if I didn't go through that. It was tough, but I don't regret it. And looking back at it, helping others, I found that even up to today, that is a constant reminder. When I help you guys, it's a constant reminder of my own vulnerability. And it's crazy, because, you know, I can go through things and help you out with them, but, you know, I'm such an empath that it brings me right back to the exact same event. And to know that I'm not chained no more to those events is a blessing in disguise when I start helping you out with that. Because, like, I can go back to them now, and it's not holding me hostage, because it once did. But when I go back to those events that held me so tight that it felt like I was choking the events that I've been through, like the abuse or being mentally, emotionally drained or depressed, and go back to those dark moments. I could look back at them now and breathe good, clean air. Because prior to 2022, I would think about an event and it felt like I'm there right in that exact moment. So I had to really push myself out of that and you know, wiggle myself free. We're like, live in this moment now that you overcame it. You're no longer a part of, you know, what was holding you hostage. You're out of it and you're a victim because of it. So it's great to actually mirror back what I've been through when I help you guys and see how far I came, because I know that it warms my heart to know that the tools that I'm giving you, you're going to do the exact same thing. You're just going to look back and say, wow, I overcame this. And I did a lot of self-sabotaging because I didn't know my own way. And when I had those tools under my belt, it built a stronger foundation for me. It really did build a stronger foundation. And I can be happy, really happy about it. I am. It built a really good strong foundation when I started having those tools. And it took a while. But looking back when I was in college and I started telling myself that I can do it. It started as a whisper, and then I started embodying that phrase, I can do it, because I started looking back at my life, and that would help me graduate college. I was going to skip out on it. I was going to be a dropout because it was that difficult. Speaking up for myself when it came to my sperm donor, or just trying to maneuver and give myself the encouragement that I am not stupid, that I can actually, you know, pass my academics. It was definitely difficult, but those tools of being in the moment and really being your best friend versus your worst enemy is really great. It really, really is. And it was difficult to make friends, but I did. I did, and I had a great friend as a result of me getting out of my own way and me challenging my thought processes that helped me build the character I needed to empty out the negative thoughts I had and start a little more positivity so I can be what I envision in this world, and that's being friendly and loving. And it took me to knock down those barriers and help you guys, help myself along the way to really get a sense of who I am. And I don't regret it. I'm going to keep saying that because it's great that I finally got here. Like, it took a long time to get to this podcast, and I'm happy that I'm here because I can reach a more wider audience for you guys and really help you out with some of the things that you need, you know, guidance on. And that's what it is. And, you know, one thing that I'm happy about is that I don't feel lonely anymore, that, you know, I can have these audience or my clients that I can talk to now, because I did a long time ago. And to have y'all have this epiphany of the things that I say is really, really great. And y'all take on an advice that I have. I love it. Especially on Facebook and Instagram, when y'all follow me, y'all message me, and y'all love the things that I post, or, you know, the clients that I have for my life coaching business. It's really great, great. So having this podcast to really help y'all, I'm so excited. I really am, because now not only I'm not going to feel lonely anymore, so I'm going to have a wider audience to really help, because part of me do get that way, that I want to help one human at a time, and I feel like this world is too chaotic and distracted. So me saying that I don't feel lonely anymore, only comes out to the fact that all of us is starting to wake up, and we are really supporting each other, and I want to do more to give back. And that's exactly what I mean about I want to feel lonely more. I want to give more to give back. Therefore, I give back to everyone else, and we have this chain reaction of everyone pouring into each other, because that's what we need. And I store, you know, small portions of that when I'm on my coaching business. So I want to do more for you guys, and I want you guys to do more for each other and make the world go around and around, because I know we deserve that. And just all the ones who deal with mental health, just know that, like I said, I've been through it. I've been through a lot of what you guys are going through, depression, anxiety, being told you're labeled this way when you go to a therapist, having, you know, mommy issues and daddy issues. I've been through some of that. It took me all the way to college to remind myself that I can do it and to remind myself that I had faced a lot of wars and battles in my life, and to give me that grace and comfort and love to know that anything ahead of myself, I can face it, because I have to believe I can based off of factual evidence that I already have faced it, and believe that anything is in my way, it's just a bleep in my journey that I already have overcame it. And that's what I want everyone else to realize. There is a part two to this. I want you to stay tuned to know more about what's going on with me and more about my podcast, Relentless Phoenix. If you like what you heard, please follow me. Please subscribe. You can find me on Facebook. That is Phoenix by Yane Snead. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok. That is Relentless Phoenix 00. The 00 is for always beginning, never ending, the infinity sign. And if you want to know more about my life coaching business or my novel, Manifest Your Canvas, which is a self-help book that gets you build up more resilience and empowerment, please visit my website at yahnesneed.com. That is YahneSneed.com. I will see you on the flip side. Blessings and love.